You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church. Along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Tuesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with us as we together sit under the Word of God. We are in the book of Acts here on the radio. Actually, you're hearing two different things here on WGOD. First of all, let me see, WGOD is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. I thank God for them that helped to foot the bill for this, and perhaps to some of you as well who helped to keep this radio broadcast on the air. And if you would like to help with that, by all means, you can write to me, elected77@gmail.com, and let me know that you'd like to support us, and I can send you the link for that, or because we certainly would be appreciative of your help to help to keep this radio broadcast on the air, because that does cost us money, as you would imagine, to be on the air here preaching the word. So here at the church, we're going through Acts verse by verse. Here on the radio, we're going through the book of Revelation. That's where we left off last week here. Revelation chapter 8 or 9, I think we were at. We'll be back with that here coming up soon. But here today and tomorrow is my sermon from the just this past Sunday, Acts chapter 19, Paul in Ephesus. Or I've entitled this to Jesus I Know and Paul I Know. That's where we're going to get to today when we part company today. We'll hear the rest of this tomorrow. Wednesday, my associate pastor is heading up a brand new study in 2 Thessalonians, verse by verse. That's going to start Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. You're invited. I encourage you, come to church on a Wednesday, sit under the Word of God, soak in the Word of God in the middle of the week, not just on Sundays, and awesome things will come about here. And I just encourage you, set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Okay, let's get into the Word now. This is part one of this message. Jesus I know and Paul I know. But who are you?
Acts chapter 19 is where we're at here today. Paul in Ephesus. We can see how the New Testament was formulated now. Right here in the book of Acts, we have all these stops on the Apostle Paul's road here in his three missionary journeys. He stopped in Galatia first, there's one letter there, Philippi, one letter there, Thessalonica, we were at a few weeks ago, two letters there, Corinth, we were there last week, two letters there, spent 18 months there, and today, Ephesus. That makes seven of the Apostle Paul's 13 letters. Letters that he wrote after he started these churches. Then he wrote to them later on to check on them and to give them some more instructions. I mean, how much can you possibly know about how to live the Christian life in just a few short times? I mean, he was only in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. 3 Sundays was all that he had with them. We have all of his letters. All they had was his personal instructions. Now, as you recall, if you guys were here last week or remember, Paul reached Ephesus, but then he turned around and he left because he wanted to reach Jerusalem in time for a Jewish feast day. Now, remember, Paul was a Jew from Tarsus. Acts chapter 18, verse 19, and we're going to be in chapter 19. Let me read a verse or two heading up to that. Acts chapter 18, verse 19, it says, "And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent. But he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep the coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. All right, that was 18, verses 19 through 21. Now let's pick it up in chapter 19 now. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Now it happened, when Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, well, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Okay, so we see these men were not Christians yet. They were on their way to becoming Christians, but they were not there yet. Paul's going to help them with their understanding and tell them a little bit about John the Baptist and about the difference between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus. So let's call these guys, I've invented a new term to describe these guys here in Ephesus. Let's call them my bad Christians. That's what they were, you know, my bad. See, they've told God, you see, that they're sorry. So they're my bad Christians. Verse 4, then Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance. John's baptism was just that. You tell God, figuratively speaking, all right, my bad, I've sinned, I'm sorry for my sins. That's all that John did. That didn't save anyone. John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Notice how different things had to happen here in Ephesus for these people to become Christians. And this is why I keep harping on the fact that the book of Acts is a historical book never to be duplicated again. I mean, how could it? There's no apostles to lay hands on you anymore. Like here with Paul, and like Peter did in chapter 8, when Peter went to the Samaritans, laid hands on them, and then they spoke in tongues, same as these guys here. Notice, too, how these people had to be baptized first to fully become Christians. Did you catch that? Read these verses again, verse 4. Then Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. That's water he's referring to. Make no mistake about it. Verse 5, then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's water he's referring to. Because they did it, this was their act. This was their act of obedience. Holy Spirit baptism would come right after that, shortly. As we see, verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All right, so how can this be? I thought baptism doesn't save anyone. Well, I guess that depends on what goes on during the baptism, really. Jesus put it this way, and this is how we do every single baptism here in this church, from the youngest to the oldest, from Sabrina Hicks, Anthony's daughter, to Isabel Chmielewski, who passed away last week, whose service we're going to have in this church last Saturday in August. Jesus said this, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. So the whole picture certainly that saves you. Then Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. So in that regard, yes, the complete act of baptism, naturally it does save you. You're going up here and you're saying, Jesus Christ is Lord and he's my Lord, and that saves you. They just happened to do all this all at one time, like we see in the book of Acts. They got baptized, they called on the name of the Lord, the leader of the household, and his whole family, and the whole kit and caboodle came to Christ all at the same time. Everyone understand? So these guys in Ephesus, they needed to be taught the whole picture. John the Baptist led you to repent. Good. Like I call them, my bad believers. They're sorry for their sins, but they stop there. But, you see, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's more to this story than just saying, I'm sorry that I've sinned. Let's keep going here. Jesus Christ is Lord. That confession has come out of your mouth. You must believe in him in order to be saved. You must believe in Christ Jesus. You must believe, not only that, you must believe that you are a sinner in need of saving. You must believe that death is not the end. You must believe Jesus was raised up from the dead. Book, chapter, and verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It's on your handout. And you must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, saying you're sorry is not enough. You're a sinner and you have a sin problem. Saying you're sorry can't fix that. But the man in the glory, he can fix that. And he does fix that. And that's some good news here this morning. Now, John the Baptist said this the very first time he saw Jesus as an adult, at least. He says, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and he'll take away yours as well, if you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Now, remember, telling God, or someone else for that matter, saying to God you're sorry is not enough. The word repent means to turn away from something. Metanoia is the Greek word. Meta means to change. Noia is the Greek word for your mind. They say in a service, about face. You do a 180 and you start going in the other direction is what repent means. It means you leave it behind and start going in the other direction. That's what repent. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you turn from this and you start going in the other direction. Now, the proverb says a righteous man will pick himself up 7 times. Now, for those of you that are hanging on the precipice of 6, that's not what he means, 7 and you're done. 7 is a number of perfection. You keep on doing that. Then by the time you're 90, praise God, you'll be doing better. Right? I mean, how many of you are doing better now than you were on the 2nd of August last year? Right? I hope so. Judas was sorry about what happened to Jesus, and he still ended up in hellfire, betraying the Son of God. That's worldly sorrow. Judas was a my bad type of believer. 2 Corinthians 7 tells us how to do it right. It says, godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. But the sorrow of this world produces death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. So godly sorrow, worldly sorrow. One leads to salvation, the other leads to death. My bad. Look at what happened to the Apostle Peter. As a matter of fact, turn with me, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 22. I want to show you. Look what happens when you seriously get this wrong and still be one of the heroes of the Christian faith. Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 54. Now, Jesus told Pete, three times you're going to deny me. And Peter said, not on your lifetime. Peter said, maybe all of these other yahoos might do that, but not me. I'd never do that. So that's the backdrop. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Now, having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed from a distance. Now, when they kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down together. Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied Jesus. All right, there's one. He denied Jesus and said, woman, I don't know him. Then after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are one of them. And Peter said, I am not. All right, there's two. Verse 59, then about an hour had passed, and another, catch the phrase, confidently affirmed. The other one said, all right, let's wake up anyone sleeping. Ready? The other one said, I'm sure of it. It was you. You. I've seen you. I know it was you. Because he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned. Boy, can't you just picture Jesus in one of those swivel chairs like I got in my office? Can't you just see it? He's sitting like this, you know. And then that swivel chair goes around. And he looks at him right in the eye. And, you know, I wasn't there. But I'd be venture to say the kind of look that he gave him. You know what it was? Same look he gave the rich young ruler. It says he looked at him and he loved him. After this, I'll bet you any amount of money you want to bet. When Jesus turned and looked at him, read Mark chapter 10, verse 17 sometime. Read how he responded to the rich young ruler. It said Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And it's the same thing, I bet, with Peter. He looked at him and he loved him. You know why? Because that's what he does. That's what Jesus does. And he'll do the same thing with you today as well. No matter what you have done, when Jesus turns and he looks at you, he loves you. And he'll maybe say something like this, yeah, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He looks at you no matter what you've done today. If you're hearing me on the radio or watching this on YouTube, let me tell you today that no matter what you have done, when Jesus turns and looks at you and he loves you. I've got it on good authority today to tell you that he looks at you and he loves you. There's two kinds of repentance in this world. There's godly sorrow like Peter's, and there's worldly sorrow like Judas and all the people out here in the world today. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Okay, so there's a difference between being sorry for your sins and receiving the love of God for yourselves, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Paul in Ephesus and back to verse 8. You know, I always pray before we start that God will say 60 different things to 60 different people. Maybe he's talking to you through that. I don't know. Let me just encourage you that the Lord, like the prodigal father, is standing with outstretched arms, and he's waiting and he's encouraging you to return to him. He's not mad at you. He will receive you, and he looks at you and loves you and wants to restore you back to him. If that's you, I encourage you to do that today. Okay, now let's pick it up here in verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, remember the way, remember Jesus, John 14:6, I am the way. That was the name, early name for Christians before they were called Christians, was followers of the way. So when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Now remember, just a few chapters back, remember the Holy Spirit told them not to go there. He forbid him from going to Asia, and now look what the word says. It just might be a year later. Now it says here, it says everyone in Asia heard the word of God. It's just not going to happen in Paul's timing. It happens in God's timing. That's why you read it so many times in the Bible where it says, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. If you're waiting on God for something, just lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Just wait on the Lord. Read Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. So this continued 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So a little more the same like last Sunday and like his last stop, that the apostle was not going to force the love of God on anyone. If they refused it, he moved on and went somewhere else. It's freely given and it's freely offered in his day and in our day as well. It can be freely received by you today at no cost. All right, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, some Christian leaders still think they're living in the book of Acts, and they exploit other Christians, and they sell handkerchiefs to people many times for $1,000 offering. So I got to be thinking, you know. Hey, let me put a little sweat on this first. What do you think, Darren? How much for that one? Okay. Just because I like you people, $300. Or else it says apron. Like, I wonder, like, what kind of apron would that be? Is that like an Emeril Lagasse apron? Or like a little bib apron, you know, that your kid wears when he's, you know, you have a little squirt of lemon on it there from your lobster. Apron. But people sell these kind of things. I'm serious here. I'm not joking. People sell handkerchiefs today. People in the church do this. It just breaks my heart to see the people exploiting. You know, Peter warned it was going to be this way. He warned us to watch out for people, and that is the very definition of what Peter called making merchandise of somebody, where I am going to sell you my sweat, and I'm going to make money from that and profit. That's the kind of people you need to run from that. I mean, all my days on the radio, people would get on the radio, and they would say, they would invite people to their revival, and they promised they were going to call fire down out of heaven. And people flock to that. Now, the next time that happens, it's going to be the false prophet in the book of Revelation. I encourage you to run the other way. If someone says he's going to call fire down out of heaven, get out of Dodge. Don't run to that. All right, let's move on here. Verse 13. I'm going to read this from the NIV. Now, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those that were demon-possessed. This should prove interesting. What do you think? Question, can an unbeliever cast a demon out of somebody? Let's find out. This is verse 13. So some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. They tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Now, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Now one day the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Now that's funny. Who in blazes are you? I don't know you. And the demon says, not only do I don't know you, the demon says, my boss don't know you either. Who are you? That sounds like a song I listen to in my Jeep. It's the Who, right? Who are you? Who, who? Who, who? You know, when a demon sings the Who over you, that's when you're in big trouble, pal.
And we'll have to wrap it up there for today. Right in the middle of this scene, what a scene this is. How to Do It Wrong, part one, right? Never try to cast a demon out of someone if you're an unbeliever. Look what happened here. What a story this is. We'll have to wait until tomorrow to hear the rest of this. You can watch the video from this sermon by going to our YouTube channel. That is Island Community Church on YouTube. And that is Acts chapter 19, and you will find that uploaded right there on our page. Or if you're a Facebook kind of person, you will find that video up on the Island Community Church Facebook page as well. So I encourage you to go to any one of those places. Join us again tomorrow, and we're going to wrap up this sermon here tomorrow in the 19th chapter of Acts. Until then, you are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.